From the Windows, Doors, and More Studios, your one-stop shop for all your kitchen and bath needs. The Pat Miller Program. WoWo, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM. Depend on it.
Hey, good afternoon. Good to see you all here. Welcome to the Saturday edition of the Pat Miller Program, and very glad that you're with us. A couple of the interviews that we heard on Thursday when I filled in for Casey, we're going to go ahead and have some of those replayed because some of them were extremely timely, very good, and it was kind of important to me that we had them in place, and I wanted to make sure that you were able to hear them as well. So that's all coming up. One that you will have today, also that was from Thursday, we're going to have a segment with Marlon Stutzman. The time for the primaries is getting closer and closer and closer. So it's kind of a big deal, kind of important, and I want to make sure that you know where we're at. Let's get some phraseologies here from some Democrats, shall we? From Bob Casey, who is a Democrat from Pennsylvania. He's a senator. Now, here's his take. Don't worry about the money that we're sending for support to the Middle East. Here's what he said. We will be producing the weapons that the Iranians use to defeat Vladimir Putin. Senator Casey, if you think that the leading governmental religious agencies in Iran are trying to find new ways to turn things against the Russians, I'm not sure you and I are living on the same planet. This sounds like hype beyond anything that I've ever heard, but that's what he said. Hillary Clinton, you remember her, you bunch of bag of deplorables. She said this, and I quote the former First Lady, "Putin does what he would like to do, kill his opposition, imprison his opposition, drive journalists and others into exile, rule without any check or balance." That's what Trump really wants. He sees Putin. He sees Xi. He sees Kim Jong-un in North Korea. Those are the people he is modeling himself after. Well, former Madam First Lady, former Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State and Attorney General and Senator from the state of New York, all those accolades that you've won. Thank goodness I think your accolades are done. But to sit there and say, I mean, you do a rather honest, open, true appraisal of President Putin of Russia. Kills his opposition, imprisons his opposition, drives journalists and others into exile, doesn't have any checks or balances with how he runs his country. That is all true. Then she wants to use Putin as a flip for Trump. Are you people so stupid you don't see? Don't you see that this is what Trump wants to do to us? I mean, he wants to take all of our... Did you see any of that in the first rendition of a Donald Trump presidency? Through his presidency that he was in, that he won in 16 and was president until 20, I didn't see any of this. In fact, it cracks me up that, you know, Kim Jong-un of Korea, those are the people that he's modeling himself after. Go back and look at the footage where Kim Jong-un and his train met Trump at the border between North and South Korea, which Trump is the first president to ever step foot across that parallel. Ever. And he did it. But when Xi gets off the train and he sees Trump is already out there, he's like, uh-oh, and he goes running, and he comes running down across the little ravine to where he almost falls. And then when they shake hands, he's like, oh, go, go, oh, oh, just, oh. He is so enamored with Trump that I'll be honest with you. To say that Trump is wanting to endear himself to Kim Jong-un because he wants to become Kim Jong-un, he doesn't want anything of the sort. Kim Jong-un is nuts. He's totally militaristic. He loves his military, and he's one other thing. He's broke. He's absolutely broke. The only way he was able to come to that little summit there was because we, and by that I mean President Trump, paid for him to be there. We paid for the fuel for that little presidential train of his so he could get there. Look, he can't afford to go anywhere and can't afford to do anything. Nothing. But Hillary sees that he's trying to model himself after Putin. He's trying to model himself after Xi. You know, Xi Jinping. he's rattling his saber now about everything they're going to do there to take over, the islands there in the Asia Sea, and he wants to take them. He wasn't saying any of that stuff during the Trump administration. He wouldn't even fly his planes close to their shore for fear of how that would be perceived. So Putin, who did not attack Ukraine during the time of the Trump administration, Xi Jinping, who did not do anything to rattle his sabers over the countries that he says are actually China's there in the Asian Sea, Kim Jong-un, who did nothing like flyovers over Korea and flyovers over Japan while Trump was in office, but just as soon as the government of the United States changed hands, and weak, Joe Biden was inaugurated as president of the United States. It was then that the weakness was put aside, at least by these three, and they began. And the weakness was put aside by those that want to attack our border from the south. The numbers of people coming in illegally, getting through so fast, we can't keep up with them. It exploded when Joe Biden went into office. Why? Because he and his secretaries of state and his people there at their pulpit there in the White House, they were all talking about how, when we get Trump out of there, we can start doing what we want to do and we can come in. And people start exploding across our southern border. And now Biden talks about how, well, if President Trump hadn't messed up everything and if he hadn't done this, I tell you what. Just keep singing that song, Joe. Just keep singing that song because you are so out of step. You're in such disarray. It is amazing to me, absolutely amazing to me, that you believe what you're saying. In fact, I don't think you do. I genuinely don't think you do. I mean, when I've got the governor of Illinois, J.B. Pritzker, when he says, people understand that it's Joe Biden that stands for American values. Joe Biden is a terrific debater. Well, I don't know that that's true. If there is a debate between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, it will be rather one-sided, and it will be President Trump that's spitting fire in the course of the debate. I don't think it'll be Joe Biden. Joe Biden, a terrific debater? No. The only thing he debates is he spends half his time when he comes onto a platform somewhere trying to remember where he is and where's my mark on the platform on the stage that tells me they were supposed to put down an arrow with tape on the platform so I would know which way to go when I'm done. I would say, Mr. President, go that direction. Oh, okay. How long do I go that way? You just keep going. We'll come for you when we need you. That's how that goes. Stacey Abrams, the failed Georgia gubernatorial candidate, she's Ms. Brilliant all over again. She said the attack on diversity, equity, and inclusion, DEI, is an attack on democracy. It's an attack on education. It's an attack on how our economy works. Don't know that you're reading the right papers, ma'am. Seems to me that you've got a mess here. Swalwell, Democrat, California. I have stayed in the Congress because I've got three little kids. I've got $75,000 in student loan debt, and we have child care costs. Well, I'm sure you do. Why is that an issue now? I mean, you've got Democrats now complaining about some of the things that befall them, but if they would stop long enough and look at it, why is it befalling them? Why? Well, because their guy, Joe Biden, is still in the White House. The only thing that things will get better for Democrats in Congress that are bellyaching is if Donald Trump is in Congress. I'm just saying. In fact, you wait and watch because Trump will win this fall when he's inaugurated. Life for everybody on Capitol Hill will get much smoother, get much better. More coming up with some thoughts of the day. We've got Jen Sylvester from Fort Wayne. She'll be with us after the bottom of the hour right here on WoWo.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo, 92.3 FM and 1190 AM, and on the WoWo app.
Hey, welcome back. Pat Miller here with you on this Saturday, as is his habit. our Attorney General for the state of Indiana is standing up again and taking a strong stand against federal interference. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Attorney General Todd Rokita here in the state of Indiana defends the state's pro-life laws against federal interference. Todd Rokita has led a 22-state amicus brief in the Supreme Court on this very issue. Todd Rokita is now very busy fighting efforts by the federal government to ride roughshod over state laws protecting human life and prohibiting abortions. How is it that that fight can even be going on? Roe v. Wade was determined to not be constitutionally achieved, and so it was vacated, was it not? I mean, the Dobbs decision basically took that and yanked it away from the federal government. Go back and read your Constitution, okay? Go back and read what it is that the Constitution has relative to the infectious disease of the federal government placing themselves in the line of state government according to the U.S. Constitution. We've got to get to where we understand what the Constitution says and what it means by what it says. When you've got Article 1 of the Constitution, and it basically tells us what it is that the Congress can do, and what is that? That's where they can lay taxes and duties and imposts and excises. They can pay the debts. They can provide for the common defense, the general welfare of the U.S., to borrow money against our credit, to regulate commerce with foreign governments, to establish a uniform naturalization and uniform laws on the subject of bankruptcies throughout the United States. My brain is leaving me here. There's another one there on money. To coin money, to regulate the value of money and of foreign coin, and to fix the standard of weights and measures, to provide for punishment for counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the U.S., to establish post offices and post roads, to promote the progress of science and useful arts. That's part of what they're supposed to do. Secure limited times to authors and inventors, the exclusive rights to their respective writings and discoveries, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. In other words, it's up to them to establish all of the courts below the Supreme Court, to define and publish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the laws of nations, to declare war, grant letters and reprisals, and make rules concerning captures on land and water, to raise and support armies, but no appropriation of money to that use shall be longer than for a term of 2 years. Why? The federal government is saying, we don't want to say, okay, we're going to war and we're just going to fund it ad infinitum. We're going to go after it forever. No. Every 2 years, you have to come back to the federal government and say, okay, we're not done. We've got to stay there. Why do we have to stay there? We've got to stay there because of A, B, C, and X, Y, Z. And then the government, Congress, will sit there and examine that and say, we agree with you. We now give you another 2-year extension. Did they do it in Vietnam? Said they did. I don't ever remember it happening, but I'm just telling you, that's what they're supposed to do. To provide and maintain a Navy. To make rules for the government and regulation of the land and naval forces. Pat, why are you reading all this? I'm doing this for a reason. Hang with me. To make calling forth the militia. To execute the laws of the Union, suppress insurrections, and repel invasions. To provide for organizing, arming, and disciplining the militia, and for governing such part of them as may be employed in the service of the United States, reserving the states respectively the appointment of the officers and the authority of training the militia according to the discipline prescribed by Congress, to exercise exclusive legislation in all cases whatsoever over such district not exceeding 10 miles square as may, by recession of particular states and the acceptance of Congress, become the seat of government of the United States. Hello, District of Columbia. That's how it came about. And to exercise authority over all places purchased by the consent of the legislature of the state in which the same shall be, for the erection of forts, magazines, arsenals, stockyards, da-da-da-da-da. To make laws which shall be necessary for proper, for carrying into execution the foregoing powers and all other powers vested by this Constitution in the government of the United States or any department or officer thereof. Article 1, Section 8, and that's it. That's it. Which then takes you to a different examination of the Constitution. Because if that's Article 1, Section 8, what is Article 18? What is that? Well, that's another one that becomes very important for us to examine in what it was that was going on. I'm sorry, not 18, I think it's 14. But it becomes incredibly important for what we shall do. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny any person within its jurisdiction of equal protection of laws. Now, that becomes kind of important. Because then you're saying, okay, what is it that protects the states and their rights against those of the Constitution? And you say, why are you doing all this? This is just so dumb. It's not dumb. This is the very thing that if these things were in place, okay, if they were in place, then we would not have half the problems that we've got. Because Article 1, Section 10 to the Constitution, which was ratified December the 15th, 1791, it makes clear that any powers that are not specifically given to the federal government nor withheld from the state are reserved to those respective states or to the people at large. This is the way it was written originally. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution. Well, I just read all that in Article 1. All this, they could do this, they could do this, and armies and navies, and they could impose, they could do all that, right? I never heard anything in there where they can decide that a state can and cannot allow their citizens to carry firearms. I did not read in there anywhere where they say, well, when it comes to education, the federal government will decide and we will run education. I did not read anything in there about pro-life laws and legislation. That's what set it all up for the Supreme Court in their finding just within the last year that said Roe v. Wade is now void. The Constitution did not give the federal government the reach that they did. They need to get out of it. Now, this is where people will explode. If the state of Louisiana decided we are going to allow abortions, we're all for it, and we're going to do it. Well, if that's the case, and if that's what they want to do in that state, that is the right of that state. That is the right of that state. And Indiana has no business in telling Louisiana what to do. Nor does the state of Kentucky have any right to tell Indiana what to do. If, in fact, its laws and rules and practices in Indiana, not explicitly given to the federal government, it's up to the state of Indiana. It all needs to come back here, and it's time for state legislators to really start earning their keep. They've got more responsibility than they realize. Hey, we've got more going on. Bottom of the hour coming right after that. Jen Sylvester, she is going to talk to us about going to bat for small businesses. All of that comes up straight ahead. And welcome back. A very special guest who's on the air with us now. Not special because we've had her on before. She's not a senator. She's not a governor. This is somebody we can really, really like. So because Jen Sylvester, she's the assistant director of corporate sponsorships with our own Fort Wayne Tin Caps. Let's welcome her. Jen, hi. Welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, I've always been an admirer of the Tin Caps, you know, and I always have, you know, Mike Nutter, and I always have, you know, Limmer on a couple times a year, because the Tin Caps are always doing stuff that affects not just baseball, but affects our community directly, and it looks like they're doing it again. Talk to me a little bit about going to bat for small business.
Yeah, so this is the second year of this program called Going to Bat for Small Business, presented by PNC Bank. PNC Bank has been one of our great partners for over 20 years, back to the Wizards days, and we came together on this program that provides an opportunity for small businesses to be selected from a pool of peers of small business supporters and organizations around here to win a marketing package and really highlight their businesses.
Well, that's awesome.
Their small businesses are at the center of our community. I mean, simply look at downtown at your favorite restaurants and shops, and those are all small businesses.
Yep. Well, and I'd heard that the way this is going to work for 2024 is with all the businesses that say, hey, recognize us, hey, consider us, you guys are going to select two winners, and those winning businesses will get $8,000 each. Now, $8,000 is not $1 million, but to a small business, $8,000 could be the make it or break it mark for some small business or the next big project they want to do. So this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, they'll get a $8,000 asset package that includes a game night suite, an in-park video board recognition. They'll be congratulated on our social media posts and website as well. They'll get a customized gift that'll be a Tin Caps jersey. So it's a great chance for these small businesses that don't really have that $8,000 to invest in a marketing package with us or radio or like you guys or anything else. Because that $8,000 is a lot of money for that small business.
Yeah, it really is. And you know, even to somebody that's got a lot of money, like Josh Williams, for example,
yeah.
$8,000 is still a lot of money.
Yeah, everyone's got a budget. You got to stick to it. So that goes a long way.
Yeah. I'll be 70 years old in June, so I've been at life for quite a while. I got news for you. $8,000 is no small thing to me either.
No, not at all.
Just so we're aware. Now, you're not from here originally. You're originally from Detroit. Is that right?
Correct. Yep. I grew up in Romulus, Michigan, which is just a suburb of Metro Detroit.
I know exactly where Romulus is. In fact, you won't care about this. I spoke at a church in Romulus, and it would have been at the end of 1982. So it was probably before you were even thought of. So,
yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, so if anybody ever comes up to you outside of First Baptist Church of Romulus and they go, you know, we heard a great guy speak here one time, and you could say, well, I know one guy that did speak there. It can't be him because he didn't impress me at all.
Right on. That's super cool. And then if you've ever flown out at the Detroit airport, that's a fame to claim there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I put so much mileage in that airport and the automatic tram getting from the terminal. It's got the big planes to the puddle jumper planes that would come into Fort Wayne. Yeah, it's all there. Some of the past winners from last year, Standing Ovation Performance Apparel, and I've never dealt with them directly, but Canela Blend Coffees, which is out there in New Haven.
Yep.
That's a terrific little place. It used to be where another small fast food restaurant used to be, and they aren't there, but now Canela is there. And maybe once or twice a year when we're out that way, Kim and I will run through Canela. It's a great place. And to see that, you know, that the Tin Caps and PNC together with going to bat for small business, that they put a little bit of money in Canela's pockets, it might have been something that is why they're still around.
Right, exactly. Canela also has a spot downtown right on Harrison Street near the landing as well.
Oh, they do?
They do,
see,
yes.
See, I didn't know that.
Local spot to get a coffee or smoothie or whatnot.
Well,
Standing Ovation is off of Coliseum by, you know where that Chuck E. Cheese is?
Yeah.
They're right over there.
What I'm doing right now is I'm writing myself a note. Make sure you stop that. Okay. Because I'm a coffee aficionado, and, you know, you can get into a pattern where you just go to the big name all the time.
Oh, for sure.
But that gets a little old.
Stay away from Starbucks.
Oh, yeah.
So many great not small businesses here in town.
Yeah, not exactly small business when you say Starbucks.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so let's talk real quick. And we're talking to Jen Sylvester, and she's from the Tin Caps, Assistant Director of Corporate Sponsorships. And we've got this big event coming up, Going to Bat for Small Business. So talk to me about dates and times, because there's a nomination process that takes place, and that time is starting to wind down, right?
It is, yep. So nominations can be submitted if you just go to the Tin Caps website. There's a link to take you to a form to fill out. The deadline is next Tuesday, April 30th, by
wow.
the end of the day then.
So that's coming.
It is. So a couple more days to get those submissions in, and then we will get all of those nominations forms over to our committee. They'll start reviewing them sometime here early May, and then we'll get together to pick those two winners, and we will announce one in June and then one in early August.
Now, I know that on Tuesday, which is the 30th, it closes at 5 p.m. You can also go online to do the submissions, but the business can nominate themselves, or somebody could also nominate for them, right?
Yep, absolutely.
See, that's a big plus.
Our biggest fans are our biggest supporters, so why not have them nominate those businesses that they're supporting?
Yeah, Mike Nutter, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's just the president of your ball club. No, but Mike Nutter actually said that the Tin Caps are actually excited to continue this campaign with PNC Bank in our market. And he said this, which shows you that Mike understands the community. Our small business community is valuable to our city, especially to the growth of downtown Fort Wayne. So he ended up thanking PNC for all that they're doing and their commitment to going to bat for small businesses. And I can tell that Mike is excited. He'd like to find the two new winners for this year so they can get $8,000 to each one of them also and keep furthering business here in the greater Fort Wayne area. And that is such a beautiful attitude to have, Jen.
Yeah, for sure. Our small businesses, they fuel economic growth in the area, they job creation, innovation, diversity. You can go on and on about how important small businesses are to Fort Wayne and Northeast Indiana as a whole.
Now, I know that the deadline is Tuesday night at 5 o'clock for this program, and I know that PNC is your partnership with it, but PNC has been a supporter of the Tin Caps for a long time, and this is an extension of that. This is, if my numbers are right, this is the 21st year that PNC has locked arms with the Tin Caps. That's pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah, they've been an amazing partner for, like I said, 21 years, and we couldn't have the support that we have as an organization without the support of our great partners. If you look at us as far as our full-time staff, we're considered a small business, too, with the number of full-time employees we have. So we need that support from our community partners just as much as we're supporting these other small businesses as well.
Cool. Well, listen, this is all very, very exciting. I'm so glad that we found time to have you on with us here today. And I'm actually going to replay this my program that I have on Saturday afternoon this week, because it might be that somebody's missed it today, but they'll be back and they'll hear it on Saturday and they'll go, oh, that's just a few days away. A lot of times, and we see this even with our own outreach sometimes with Penny Pitch that we do every year, sometimes the one that ends up being selected for Penny Pitch is one of the first ones that came in. Sometimes they're one of the last ones that come in. So just because people go, well, I'm sure they've got enough. They don't have enough until they've got your business down there on their list, right?
Exactly. And when we give the nomination forms to our committee, we do take the business name off to make it anonymous. That way they are judging it based off of the other questions.
Well, and we do kind of the same thing here with us. With Penny Pitch and other things that we do, you always want to be careful when you're dealing with different companies and different organizations, because you want it to always be open, but you want it to be fair. Well, they just picked that one because he's married to her sister. You know, I don't have time for all that.
Right, you got to be able to take the biases out.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, the fact that when I first got you on the phone a while ago, you said, you know, I think Pat Miller is one of the best broadcasters that was ever on WoWo. You know, that's why we didn't make that part of the broadcast. See. Jen, listen, I can't thank you enough. First of all, thank you for coming here from Detroit several years ago, back in 2015. Thanks for hanging in there with the Tin Caps. I know that, you know, it's like every business. When you got a place like the Tin Caps, there's times like in the off season when you're all sitting around watching each other yawn. And then there's other times like during the course of the year where the games are going on, but business still goes on and you're running around like a chicken with your heads cut off.
So, you nailed it.
Oh, yeah. Because I've been down there during both of them. I mean, one time Limmer came, I was set up at a table right there in the main concourse when you first come in through the main gate.
Yep,
and we were doing things. And Mike came because he was on my show that day. I don't even remember what we were promoting, but he came in, he sat down, he looked at me, and right before we went on the air, he looked at me, he goes, "What's my name again?" I thought.
Yeah, some days you go from thing to thing, and come up, and every day is a new day in minor league baseball, so we get to wear a lot of hats. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
For me now, so I've enjoyed it all.
Well, one last question for you, which really has nothing to do with this event, but your relationship with the Tin Caps. You came here for a job opportunity, and it's turned into a great job for you. But how much does it mean to you that you're now, you personally, through the Tin Caps, but you're affiliated with the city of Fort Wayne? It's a great place to be, isn't it?
It is. I honestly thought I would be here for a year or two when I first accepted the position. And 9-10 years later, look at us now. I'm invested in this community. I live downtown. I'm involved with some organizations like Fort for Fitness. So, like I said, this is home for me and a part of my life.
Well, that's awesome. Very glad that you're here. Very glad that you're part of a great organization like the Tin Caps, because we're still thrilled that the Tin Caps have been here ever since they were the Wizards. And once we moved downtown and became the Tin Caps, life with the Tin Caps and between the Tin Caps and Fort Wayne has just gotten better and better. And it looks like it's going to happen again, because Jen just took time to tell us about going to bat for small business. Remember, the deadline for admissions is Tuesday at 5:00, so make sure you get them in there. Jen, for today, thank you so very much. I appreciate it. So very nice to have Jen with us today. And like everybody else that we've ever had on or met with the Tin Caps or PNC Bank for that matter, just great people that really do love Fort Wayne. Hey, we're going to be back with more program coming up straight ahead right here on WoWo 92.3 FM, 1190 AM.
This is the Pat Miller Program on WoWo 92.3 FM and 1190 AM and at WoWo.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Glad that you're still here. I'm not trying to just jump all over Democrats, but sometimes they make it so easy. Let's go to the former Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, and let's get some of his take on where we're at relative to things with crime and some other things that we have staring at us and giving us a little bit of a problem. The threat facing our country, Bill Barr says, is from the far left, and the drift that's been occurring toward reality, a socialist system, and one that brooks no opposition, that cancels people, that has only one viewpoint taught in colleges, that tries to push parents out of the picture when it comes to the education of their children. It's a heavy-handed bunch of thugs, in my opinion, and that's where the threat is. I have an admonition for you out there if you're a parent. And this is a true admonition. Take it for what you will. College is not for everybody. And in fact, college may be for far less students than we have now. If you have a child that's going to a university and they're not yet sure exactly what they want their major to be, they're not exactly sure what dog they want to chase, then maybe they shouldn't be at university. Or maybe it should be delayed a little bit. This whole thing about you graduate in May and we slam you into college in November, why? Why not take a skip year or an off year? Why not look at something besides college? What about a junior college? What about a community college? What about a trade school? What about internships in lines of business? And then if they decide after 2 years of an internship, mom, dad, I really want to go to school now, but I want to do it because the firm that I'm working with sees great potential in me, and they want me to go to college, and they want me to go after this kind of a degree. Now you're going to college with a purpose. this is more than just getting, you know, who can get more girls to kiss them in the first semester at school, and how's your football team doing, and how stupid can we get pulling off our shirts and showing our bare chests at a football game in the middle of January when it's 12 degrees below. I mean, somehow that's become the big conquest in college, and I don't think that's much of a conquest at all. I think that's really just kind of a big mess. Eric Swalwell, who's another individual, made his statement about child care costs, and I talked about that in the last statement. I stayed in the Congress because I've got three little kids. I've got $75,000 in student loan debt. We have child care costs. Okay, can I just say it? You've also got a job that pays $170,000 a year. Now, that's not rich, especially if you live in California, but you're not destitute either, sir. You're not. Okay? Now, when you say, I've got $75,000 in student loan debt, that must be just you. Well, when did you graduate? Why do you still have $75,000 in debt? Why did you go to college? Well, because I thought I was entitled. Well, that might be. You know, I'm reminded of something that Aristotle said, and Aristotle's not been around for a while. He was about three centuries before Jesus Christ. But Aristotle said, education is the best provision for old age. For old age. Sit down with people you know. When you get together with them this year, like let's say you're all there at Memorial Day and you're killing an hour and a half waiting for the fireworks to start, or you're together for an anniversary dinner, or you're at Thanksgiving this fall. Start a conversation around the table. When did you graduate? Bill, when did you graduate from college? What about you, Susie? What about you, Jim? And get all the numbers. And then what did you major in? And they'll tell you and yada, yada, yada. How's that playing out in your life now? What? I mean, how's that playing out? You will be absolutely and totally amazed how many young people, by the time they are 30, they're still gainfully employed, but they are not in the field that they studied in college. Now, don't wreck your car as you're driving down the street right now, because some of you listening to me are at a stoplight. Some of you are going 65, 70 miles an hour. But let me ask you this. How many of you will raise your hand in admonition of this? I graduated in yada, yada, yada so many years ago, but that having been said, I'm no longer in that field. Well, what field did you study? I studied XYZ. Well, what field are you in now? Well, now I'm doing this. I know young people. In fact, I can name for you three young ladies I know. I haven't talked to any of them in the last 2 or 3 years, but all of them went and studied education because they wanted to be teachers. Once they got into it, by the third, fourth year, they were ready to yank their hair out. And not because of the kids, but because of the long line of stuff that they're being told to do, forced to do. They don't leave because of the kids. They leave because of all of the constellation that they get caught in the middle of with the administration of schools, through school systems, through the departments of education, through all the hoops they have to jump through. One of the young ladies looked at me, tears in her eyes, and she said, I'm going to go get my nursing degree. I said, really? She said, yeah. Yeah. She goes, because when I go there to help kids, I could look at a meter, I could look at a chart, I could look at a blood pressure, I could look at a blood sugar count, and I can know, am I helping this child or not? And I don't need somebody higher up saying, well, you're not doing that great a job. I'm not sure you're doing them much good. I don't teach kids anymore. I go through an outline that they give me, and I don't believe half of what's on the outline. And the only person that's going to be damaged and all that are the kids, well, until they review my class. Because if I say anything out of alignment with what it was they told me to teach, my job's on the line. I love the kids. I genuinely love them. But I don't know that I'm connected to them anymore. That's the sad part. That is genuinely, truly the sad part. And that's where a lot of our teachers find themselves. It's really sad. And that's the bugaboo of where we are. Hey, we're going to be back. Philip Wegman from Real Clear Politics will be with us right after the top of the hour right here. Pat Miller on WoWo 92.3 FM, 1190 AM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.